Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dr. Deborah Durst, and I am a double board certified physician that now specializes in anti-aging and regenerative medicine. As a return viewer of the channel, I want to thank you for always listening and being loyal. If you are new to the channel, then I hope you like the content we're putting out. If you do, please hit the like and subscribe and leave us comments on anything you might want to hear more about, because we are willing to deep dive into anything sexual wellness or wellness. So welcome back to the RMD podcast. And today we have a topic that we want to cover because it seems like there's lots of questions. And so just summarizing, fasting, hitting those, you know, bullet points of why it might be important and the types of fasting. Let's just talk about the benefits of fasting first. Right. Why would you want to do that? Because it sounds painful for some, right? And for some,
you, it sounds painful.
Yeah, for some it is painful, but there are lots of health benefits to that. So again, you know, one of the things is that you actually metabolize more efficiently. So basically, you are getting more efficient at burning fuel. That's one of the benefits of that.
And by being more efficient in burning fuel, then we can have increased weight loss.
Correct.
And fat metabolism.
So one of the ways that we're getting more efficient is with fat burning. Insulin sensitivity improvement, that's another one. So again, when we're talking about longevity, and that would be one of the reasons why, even despite the fact that it may be painful, there's benefits to doing it.
I was going to say, so far, it sounds like the benefits are fantastic.
Yes, they are. Even if painful. And insulin sensitivity is one of them. And because again, the more efficient our insulin is, the better our longevity is. So it decreases lots of health-related, you know, or health conditions, medical conditions that happen with insulin resistance. And one of the other most important things, and the things they're talking the most about, is autophagy.
Yeah.
Right? That is a big one.
Break that down for everybody listening.
So basically, everybody has, like, or all cells have waste products. And so those waste products aren't picked up, you know, fast enough or efficiently, then they accumulate, and that's toxicity. So the more that we can actually use those waste products to recycle them into fuel, we take waste and now they're broken down into amino acids and can be used for fuel.
The body can utilize.
Correct. So the body is just basically getting rid of faster. It's getting rid of those toxins or those waste products that build up. So you get cellular repair, you get a detoxification, and again, you get more fuel because you're using those waste products for fuel. So
it also is good for the heart. So it can lower blood pressure. It can decrease your resting heart rate. It's also shown to help with liver function. So lots of benefits to
cognitive benefits and a lot of brain clarity with fasting. So yes. So I say that only because we've talked to lots of patients, and even, you know, the thought of, and again, people that are like, you know, grazers, which has historically been me in my youth, you know, kind of eating small amounts all day long is actually the opposite of what we should be doing. And instead, we should be going through long periods of not eating and fasting. So it brings us to, again, what are the different types of fasting?
I think probably the one that we hear the most common is intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. And then when you talked about the opposite of grazing, that kind of brings us right into intermittent fasting. And then how long do we need to fast? And what is that magic number to see the benefits of fasting?
So I think that is the most common one that you hear of, or time-restricted eating, which is the same thing.
Yeah,
you know,
just a different way of saying it.
So you either have a longer period that you're fasting or you have a shorter period that you're eating. It's the same thing, yeah. But you will hear them named different things. So I think that the magic number is at least 12 hours and ideally up to 18. And so 0 to 12 hours, like, you are still literally digesting food. And so you still are digesting and your insulin level is still up, essentially. So you definitely want to be beyond 12 hours on a daily basis if you're doing intermittent fasting. And then that's when you go into, again, fat burning mode. Yeah.
And when patients ask, well, how long should I fast? I think that's really the most key part, is we want to be at least 12 hours. And what I tell patients is, what is the most conducive for your lifestyle? If you mm-hmm. can only do 12 and you can commit to 12, then 12 is going to be the best number for you. If you can do 16 or 18, great. Anything beyond that, according to you, would be torture.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've gotten used to it now. Like, it's the prolonged, you know, like it's the 3-day, it's those longer fasts that I feel, you know, aren't, a lot of people are having trouble with those.
Or the 20 and 4. It's not super realistic for a lot of people.
And I think a lot of people are talking about 3-day fast now. And I think that that's a reasonable time frame. But if you're not used to fasting, again, that can be harder to do. And so knowing the benefits of that insulin sensitivity, but fat burning and, you know, basically body cleanup, you know, and detoxifying is important. So if you know those benefits, then pushing for that. But I think prepping with intermittent fast, and we talk about this with our patients, because as you hit perimenopause, menopause, andropause, you are going to accumulate fat, you know, subcutaneous and visceral, and then you're also going to decrease muscle potentially. And so you want to go into that fat burning mode every day so that doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
So intermittent fast is key. And I think almost giving, I always talk to them specifically. Like, what time do you go to bed? Like, stop eating at this time. Don't eat again until this. So, like, if it's 8 p.m. at night, don't start eating again till 1 in the afternoon. Give them a time frame, or like 1 to 7, 6 hours, or, you know, 1 to 8, 7 hours. Like, very specific.
One of our camera guys today said, I don't eat before this time. Right. Yeah. I don't eat until 1 o'clock every day.
Yeah. And then you got to pick a stop and a start, you know, so that it's both of those. But I think you're right. Key is 12. Ideally, if you can eat in a 6-hour window and do 18, then you get fat burning for above 12 hours. Yep. So you're going to start burning fat.
Another form of fasting was prolonged. You kind of hit on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So when we talk prolonged, we're talking over 24 hours and till when?
Well, I think that all depends. Anything above 24 hours is prolonged. But I think the most, like, the trending one is the 3-day fast. Yeah. And you keep hearing a lot about that. And then you get, you know, again, a water fast versus a 3-day fast. You know, ideally, that's what you're still doing is you're fasting. It's nothing that will increase your blood sugar. So anything that increases blood sugar and prompts an insulin release is not fasting. And so the only thing that you can have is water. You can potentially do electrolytes, but if it has any calories in it at all, it will bring you out of your fast. That's an issue. So again, you know, I think you can look at like MCTs or something else that would not bring you out of a fast, but ideally greater than 24 hours is prolonged, and water is strictly what you should be having.
Yeah, there are some branched chain amino acids that are mixes that you can put in that are meant for fasting. So looking at the label, I think that as more popular this fasting has becoming, there's more options out there. I saw someone told me the other day there's like a creamer you can put in coffee that's meant for fasting.
Stop it already.
It's a fasting,
like,
safe creamer.
Like, they're gonna fast or not. So that's so that's modern society though, right?
That's modern society. We want it quick and easy, right?
Yeah,
so if I can have coffee with a fast, safe creamer, sign me up.
And then don't even do it. Like, that's my thought. Like, so my thought, I love that. And you know that that's modernization, right? That's capitalism at its finest.
Absolutely.
So we don't want capitalism.
Don't be jealous. You didn't
think
about
it. Don't be going for the creamer shot in your coffee while you're fasting. But I will say all civilizations have been doing it, right? Yep. Since ancient times, almost every religious, you know, like, any kind of religion has some kind of fasting affiliated with it. The animal kingdom has fasting, you know, with it. Like, animals fast with great health benefits. And, you know, they have physiologic changes that happen with it, too. And it's a prolonged. And civilization. Like, food wasn't always readily available.
I was going to say, back in the caveman, the hunters and the gatherers.
Yeah.
There was nothing caught.
Correct.
You're not eating it.
Yes. So sometimes it was even unsafe to eat something if it was available. So, again, our cells are used to fasting, which kind of brings us to that fasting mimicking diet too, which, again, I think is a name that's not appropriate for it, but that longevity book by Walter Longo, where they talk about the fasting mimicking diet, which is prolonged, that fasting FMD diet. It really isn't a diet, but it's been researched to, again, give your body that impression that it's fasting so you can go a little bit longer if it seems like you don't want to go without food.
And it's just really restricted, right, isn't it?
It actually has like 5 days of things laid out on what you can take as day one through five, but it's supposed to actually trick the body into thinking it's fasting with some science and research affiliated with it. So it can actually be a fast if somebody was having trouble doing a strict, you know, 5-day fast or 3-day fast with just water. Or basically, it also is supposed to minimize side effects of chemotherapy, you know, maybe enhance the results of. And so it's a great book, you know, that talks about it. So the two ways that, that people can find that is Longevity by Walter Longo, or Prolon, what fasting mimicking diet. So those are two, but basically it talks about, again, the autophagy that happens and just faking your body into it. But it, again, it goes into, in the book, this is how our body's meant to be. Perform, is that, and the reason why it enhances chemotherapy just brings up the fact that theoretically we're, our cells are used to fasting and being without food. And so our cells can get through that. So it's normal for us. So we don't need the creamers, was my point of my little tangent.
We circled right back around. Yes, it was coming. I knew I was waiting for it.
The point of my little tangent is the fact that, again, we're used to it, but cancer cells aren't. So cancer cells are fed with sugars. And so if we can go through periods of time with fasting, it's hugely beneficial for starving cancer cells, which is why they talked about, again, fasting on, you know, chemo, you know, or decreasing and minimizing side effects of it. So,
or even on top of that, fasting helps decrease inflammation in the body. And we know that chemotherapy, cancers, it's all inflammatory. So anything to decrease inflammation is going to be beneficial.
Yes, so that's one of the other benefits, but it gets into the time frame of it, right? So, so we talked about the types of fasting. So,
well, the other one we didn't talk about was the alternating day.
Oh, yes.
But I think that's like the creamer and the coffee, maybe. I would get all kinds of confused. I'd probably mix my days up and then I'll just do it tomorrow. I think it's too easy to flip-flop.
And then the alternate day, and then like there's a 5-day, eat what you want during the
week.
It's
too complicated.
And two at the end. Well, I think it's complicated, but I also think people, again, are modernizing it, right?
Yeah.
So just like, it's like the creamer. They're just modernizing. So basically, it's
How do I cheat but not cheat?
Correct. Unrestricted diet for 5 days and then fast for two. That just means you can eat whatever you want. Inflammatory.
That's just every day.
Yeah, so I think that, it's just our modernization of it. So I think if you're going to an extreme of water fasting in any way, shape, or form for 3 days, you should be probably choosing healthy dietary habits otherwise and nutritional habits. So that's my thought. But also talking about the time frame. So we talked about the types, you know, again, intermittent fast, which I think is crucial if you want to burn fat. Yeah. So in that perimenopause, menopause, andropause, intermittent fast is good because you have that above 12 hours you're going to burn fat. Yeah. So the longer you can burn fat, the better.
And I think it's sustainable. I like intermittent fasting because it's sustainable. Most people can make that work around their daily lifestyle.
And you feel better. A lot of people will say that they are more energized in their brain clarity.
Well, and it can help increase growth hormone. I mean, there's tons of benefits.
Yeah. Then you talk about like the water fast or specifically, you know, like a prolonged, which is above 24 hours, 3 days, pretty common. Again, the intermittent but the alternate day, which I think then you start to complicate it a little bit. So I think if you can choose a good dietary pattern, use intermittent fast or a 3-day fast to clean up the body or burn more fat, that is crucial. But then what are the benefits when you're doing it? So the time frames, because you started to talk about inflammation, but that's a little further in. So you have to do a more prolonged fast for that. So basically in the 0 to 12 hours of a fast, you're still digesting food and your insulin level's still up. And then 12 to 24 hours is when you go into fat burning mode and you enter ketosis. And then the 24 to 48, your ketosis is even more pronounced. So now you're using other forms. So you're using fat for fuel, which starts again at 12 hours. And then you can also use glycogen stores like in the liver and start to do that as a fuel burning. And then, but it's not until you get to like 48 that you start to get the autophagy, really. And then, you know, but like that.
So
54,
I got to suck it up and do it, is what you're saying.
I got to make it at least two days. And then
goals.
Again, 24 or 48 to 54 being again autophagy, but almost being at like that 54 hours to 72, where you get the decreased inflammation, you know, immune support, max autophagy, insulin resistance, growth hormone release, all those other things.
All the really big, important ones everybody wants from fasting.
Yes. So I think if you really want those anti-inflammatory growth hormones, you have to do it for a more prolonged stage. So definitely it looks like 48 and beyond, but maybe 54. Beyond.
So tips, it says like start slow, stay hydrated, drink your water.
Stay in bed. Right. Don't move.
Don't go to the beach and think that an empty house will do it for you, because
it won't. Yes. Don't work. You'll be stressed. You'll stress eat. No. So, I think the first time almost prepping for it with a more healthy diet leading up to it.
So mindset, I think, is important. You can't go into a fast if you're not really committed to the fast.
Yeah, you can't go from donut and margaritas to fasting for 3 days. Yeah, that probably won't work. So mindset leading into it and prep mentally. But I think, no, there's great benefits, and it has been all over, like, social media and, you know, YouTube. But I think that there are benefits. They're starting to talk more about it. But I think the modernization of it, if you're going to do it, I just know it's been done for a long time. There's spiritual benefits in addition to the health benefits. Animals do it. We've done it as humans, you know, in evolutionary.
So you're saying we could do this?
Times.
We could do a prolonged fast?
We can do it. So you either do it right, don't add the stuff in. And I think, honestly, the electrolytes can be one of them, because I think that people will probably confuse. And if it has calories at all, it will break your fast. So you have to be cautious about that. So just doing a strict water fast is probably the best way, and a longer period of time if you really want all those additional health benefits.
And then I think it's important, when you're breaking your fast, not going and getting a pizza or a Jimmy John's or something ridiculous. Start light, go slow, a soup, a broth, something easy on your stomach.
Yes, when you're coming out of it. Yeah. Not breaking it, meaning like terminating.
Cheating.
But when you're actually transitioning out.
When you've successfully completed your fast, have chicken noodle.
Yes, I agree. Start slow. And again, it gives you an opportunity to think about those healthy choices that you can develop while you're doing the fast. And apparently, again, around 24 hours is when brain clarity, and then people apparently want to work out a little bit more and all of that. So
if anyone out there has done a prolonged fast, leave comments, tell us about your experience. Did you get all the clarity? Did you feel much better? Is it something that you would repeat again? How often do you repeat it? Let us know. We like to hear all about it in the comment section.
Yeah, so if you have specific agents that you think will not break a fast and you can modernize a fast with them, just let us know that
tips and tricks.
Well, if anyone's used the fasting mimicking diet or the 5-day or is familiar with that, or any, you know, kind of fast that enhances current treatment for a disease process, let us know your experiences, because we want to hear about them. And a lot of times that'll prompt an additional podcast. So again, just like and subscribe if you like the content that we're putting out, and share with friends, and just comment on anything you want to hear about, because we're willing to deep dive into anything wellness.